Good evening. So this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements, Meetings and Access to Information England Regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. We seem to be free of any members of the public, so probably won't apply. First off, we have apologies for this evening. We're actually, there are no apologies. Everyone's here, so welcome to everyone on Cabinet and also to fellow councillors and officers. Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. Anyone can raise their hand if they have any disclosures that they wish to make or need to make, and there are none. Leaders' announcements. I haven't actually got any formal leaders' announcements other than we were pleased to discover today that the business rate pilot scheme for the districts, the city and the county that have been submitted recently to central government has actually been approved as of today, which will be of benefit to businesses and jobs across the county area. So a piece of good news ready for Christmas. Item four, minutes of the previous meeting. Meeting held on the 15th of November. Any queries or comments on the minutes? Otherwise, if everyone's happy, do I see approval for those minutes? Everyone's happy. Okay. I'm sure, James, you're probably watching by webcast or something. Very good. I'm very impressed from your son manager. I'm very impressed. So we now move on to item five, which is questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. No questions have been submitted. So we're now on to item six, which is the meat of the meeting. So first up, we have Charnwood Grants, 2018-19, round three. We also have an OSG report for this, and welcome Councillor Ransom, who I believe chaired the OSG meeting earlier this week. So if I can invite Councillor Ransom to the table. And Councillor Taylor, if I'm going to ask you to introduce the item, and then if you would be so kind as to invite Councillor Ransom to present the OSG report.
Thank you, Leader. The report sets out the recommendation in relation to the community development and engagement grant applications that have been received this round. No community facility grants were received in this round. The report also recommends that approval is given to a round four in 2018-19 with a focus on environmental projects to enable monies from Serco to support projects with environment outcomes. It's anticipated that will come to Cabinet in March. The grant assessment panel assessed the applications against criteria outlined on pages 14, 15 and 16 of the report. No applications were received in this round. The grants panel recommend that eight of the applications are awarded a grant and one is declined, with one being fully funded and one partially funded through the Loughborough grant scheme. In addition, one of the applications is funded fully from the environmental grant scheme. The panel were pleased to see a number of new organisations apply for funding through this grant scheme that have not previously applied. And the panel were also pleased to see a wide-ranging set of applications and are recommending support of a diverse set of projects ranging from support for targeted youth work, a number of self-help groups, to supporting people with substance misuse issues through community prevention and outreach. In addition, the panel recognises the positive outcomes that projects will have on specialist and hard-to-reach groups across the borough. The grant felt that the LEGO application was a very strong application that supported young people with special needs to achieve their potential through provision of a range of activities which develop their skills and contribute to their well-being. The panel were also pleased to receive an application from the Passion Youth Centre, an organisation who has not previously applied, and the panel could see the positive impact that the youth club provision would have on young people living in Shepshed. And the panel also recognised the positive impact from the Exerio Trust Substance Misuse Project would have for individuals within the wider community struggling with substance misuse. The project will support one of the needs identified as part of the stakeholder event community survey that was undertaken as part of the Bell Foundry People's Zones Police and Crime Commissioner panel. I'll pass over to Councillor Ransom to give her report.
Good evening, Leader and members of the committee. Thank you very much for giving the OSG this opportunity to speak to this. It was our item was 6A on the actual OSG on the 10th of this month. We actually had, as you can see by your report, I will not go into detail. Your report in front of you will actually is very explicit. We had a good discussion. The officers give good explanations. So consequently, we've gone with the recommendations that were put in front of OSG, which was on page 4 to 5 of the OSG agenda. So that is any questions. I will hopefully be able to answer them. Otherwise, the officers can. They're sat behind me.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ransom. Are there any questions of facts or accuracy that anyone wishes to inquire of Councillor Ransom? In that case, thank you. Councillor Smidovich. Sorry, apologies.
Thank you, Councillor Ransom. I'm not sure whether you'd be able to answer it, but the money that's gone to the Exiro Trust for the addiction, do they actually deal with it themselves, or do they then forward it on to another group in Loughborough? Would you know that?
I can't be explicit on this, but I would sure Julie Robinson, the senior member of that team, will be able to explain it when she comes to the table.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yes, we'll hold that one for Julie. So, any other points of information? Okay, Councillor Ron.
Just an apology for me, really. I hadn't spotted Cavemouth Cancer, which did use sweater burstal bags. I did declare an interest in that when the application came to me, so I won't vote on this item. I think that's probably best, and sorry for not raising that at the beginning. I don't know if you want me to step out for it or not. It's up to you.
Do you have a pecuniary interest?
My mum used the group a couple of years ago, but she's not a current user of it, so I just felt I shouldn't comment on the application, but I'm happy to take advice, and sorry for doing it late.
I'm looking at our monitoring officer, and I suspect the answer is probably no, but...
It depends what nature of interest Councillor Rowlands is disclosing. If it's a personal interest for information, then he would be able to stay and vote. If it's personal interest that might lead to bias, then my advice would be that he should leave the room.
Yeah, I'll step out of the room for it, just for...
Okay, Councillor Rowlands is leaving the room. So, any other points of clarification that anyone wishes to raise with Councillor Ransom? No, so in which case, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your report. So I'm now going to ask Julie Robinson, who's the Head of Neighbourhood Services, to come to the table to present any further detail and answer any questions.
Thank you, Leader. I've got nothing further to add to Councillor Taylor's introduction, so I'm happy to take questions. I'll start with Councillor Smidovich's question. The money, it's a joint project between Exario and Falcon Support Services. They are currently running some community outreach work around substance misuse addiction, and we have been working with them with their application to here, but also to their application to the PCC. They don't outsource the money, they run it directly themselves. They've got a community outreach worker who does the work.
Are you happy with that, Councillor Smidovich?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Any other further questions anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Vardy.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I mean, I'm always amazed by the spread of help that we can give to our communities. This is just another fine example of how we're reaching out to them and meeting them and their needs at a local level. Just to say, if a group is unsuccessful in their bids, would you be, one assumes that you do try to help them either improve their bid or advise them in other directions?
Yes, there's a number of things that are actually currently happening. There's the Volunteering Community Sector Development Office is working really proactively with organisations. So they've got an idea about an application. She'll do one of two things. She'll either look at the application and see whether it would meet the criteria for the grant scheme that we run ourselves, or whether it would meet the criteria for a grant scheme elsewhere. And we are trying to redirect people elsewhere where possible, where we think we can lever in other external funding. And we do shape the applications, and we are starting to tell people that if they come to us in advance and it doesn't meet the criteria, that we don't think it will meet the criteria, but they could still submit it. If an application gets submitted and it's unsuccessful, when we write to them, we do say, so there's one in here about Miller and Peveril Residents Association, that the comments that we've made as a grants panel is that the application on this occasion didn't meet the criteria, but we'd work with them to look at a project that would support the wider community.
Brilliant, thank you. Thank you very much. Any further questions anyone wishes to raise? I think I'd probably just echo Councillor Vardy's comments, really. I mean, it's always interesting, especially when new groups come forward, because I think that's always interesting to see that they've obviously come to us for support, and the fact that they're actually also meeting the criteria is also very good. So always good to see new people. So at this point, I'm going to pass over to Councillor Taylor to sum up and make a proposal.
Thank you very much, Leader. I'll just echo those words as well. The team do work extremely hard on supporting groups and actually flushing them out for what support they needed. So I just want to say thank you to Julie and the team for their hard work, and the panel also for going through all the applications. So I'd just like to move the recommendations 1, 2, 3 and 4 for the reasons 1, 2, 3 and 4 on pages 10 and 11 of the report.
Thank you very much. And can I ask Councillor Harper-Davis to second?
Yes, with pleasure. Thank you.
Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Can somebody grab Councillor Rawlings? Thank you very much, Julie, as well. So whilst Councillor Rawlings comes in, we're going to now move to item 7, which is the Housing Development Company. If I can invite Eileen Mallon, who's our Strategic Director of Housing Planning and Regeneration, and also Paul Pinkney, who's the Strategic Growth Manager, to come to the table. And Councillor Vardy, if I can ask you to introduce this report and then pass over to Eileen and Paul to finish off presenting any items and be available for answering questions.
Yes, thank you, Leader. This proposal is for Charnwell Borough Council to set up a housing development company to meet the challenges facing the council in relation to meeting housing needs. It will present an opportunity to take a more proactive and commercial role in the delivery of new homes and new businesses opportunities in the borough. The detail of the delivery objectives of any housing development company will be agreed as part of the draft business plan. However, it is expected that the company would help address the challenges facing the council if only I could read my own writing there, by supporting, I think it says, the maintenance of the 5-year supply, by supporting the maintenance of a 5-year supply of housing by focusing on the delivery of additional new houses across the borough to support the supply of plan-led housing development, the supply of affordable housing for rent, revenue generation for the council providing housing management services, the development of council-owned assets, and to deliver growth, new homes and new job opportunities in the borough. You will see from any recommendations, from my recommendations, that I'm not proposing that Charnwood participate in the wider Leicestershire Development Company proposal, but rather that we investigate the establishment of a Charnwood Housing Development Company. And should we establish a business case, we will bring this back to you for consideration. We will need to take advice on the development of a business plan, thus the further proposal that the budget of up to £20,000 be identified from the reinvestment reserve fund. I think I'll hand over to Eileen and Paul now to answer any more technical bits. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. Yes, just to add to what Councillor Vardy said, as we know, all local authorities are facing challenges in relation to housing delivery, both in the private sector and also with affordable housing. We've worked with our colleagues across Leicestershire to see if there's any benefit to us joining forces to assist in delivery across the county. And we've looked at the various options for all types of housing company which can be pursued, and an outline business case is attached in your papers at Appendix A for the collaborative project. All the Leicester districts started in the project, and a number did drop out through various reasons. So the final four who pursued the business case was ourselves, North West Leicestershire, Melton Borough Council and Obi and Wigston. We considered the options for the collaborative company, and our appraisal of that business case suggests that it would probably not have sufficient volume or a sufficient pipeline really to justify the costs that might be involved for the council in supporting a collaborative company. That doesn't mean to say we won't continue to work collaboratively with our colleagues across the county on any opportunities that might arise. So in parallel with working on a collaborative company, we've looked at our own housing development company, Just for Charnwood, and we think there are some benefits to that. An assessment of those is included in the papers in section 4. We can use a local housing company in a number of ways to assist us in delivering new homes across the borough. That can include working with developers who we might choose on new build schemes, or also purchasing new build developments off the shelf from individual developers to provide homes for sale or for market rent, as well as social housing. So the range of activity that a company could get involved in will depend on our own access to land and capital, of course, and the investment that we would like to make. So it's proposed that we develop a business case to look at the benefits that a housing company might bring for Charnwood and then bring it back to you for further consideration. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you very much for that. Are there any questions or further information that anyone wishes to ask? Councillor Taylor.
Just about the setting up the business plan, will a lot of that be done in-house, or will a lot of it have to be outsourced to produce a business plan?
From the main base of setting up the priorities and establishing the business plan for, so that it fits for what the council wants to achieve, it will be done in-house. It will require, however, some specialist legal and some financial advice, which as we move forward we'll have to access to make sure that we set up the right regeneration vehicle going forward.
Any other questions? Councillor Smedovich.
Yes, with picking up on what you've just said, so the consultants' fees would be added on to the costs that have already been identified for the buildings?
No, for the £20,000 which we're seeking will be the fund which is required to take us through to the full business case, which would come back to the Cabinet to decide on whether it puts forward the housing development company. So all of that will be contained within the £20,000. Yeah. However, as we move forward with housing development company, as we move forward with each development, then we'll need to fund the development information going forward. So this is just to take us to the setting up the company, that vehicle to enable us to do that. That's correct, yes.
So this Cabinet will obviously see the business case in full before we finally commit to actually making this live and then taking forward any of the projects that actually come through that we may actually look at. So any other questions that anyone wishes to ask? So this is, as I said, this is very much stage one of a two-stage process before we actually then make it live. Any other points? In that case, the paper and the reports have obviously been very, very thorough. Can I ask Councillor Vardy to make a proposition, a summary, and then I'll ask somebody else to second.
Yes, Leader, I assume I will remember who that is. Yes, thank you very much, and thank you all. I think this is just, this council is facing a lot of challenges, which we're going to hear some of them tonight about our budgets and things like that. But this is not just about budgets. This is not just about creating potentially some pots of money for the council. This is about caring about our communities. This is about provision of homes for those who need them. And there is a need for homes in this borough, and we have a duty to explore that. And that's what we're doing in this instance, where this is an exploratory thing, and always embrace sort of looking at new things, looking at ways of doing things. And if it works out, we'll come back with a positive report for you. If not, then you won't, so to speak. But anyway, I'd like to propose the recommendations on page 38 of my report, for 1 to 4 for the reasons given, 1 to 4 on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I ask Councillor Boker to second?
Thank you, Leader. I think this is an excellent idea, and I have no problem with seconding.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you very much, Eileen. So we're now on to item 8, which is the purchasing of electricity through a framework contract. So if I can invite David Hawkins, who is our procurement manager, to the table, and Councillor Barclay, if I can ask you to introduce the report and then pass over to Dave once you finish.
Thank you, Leader. This is an ESPO framework contract. We purchased roughly £435,000 worth of electricity and gas through our housing revenue account on our general fund. We are a present in an ESPO contract, and it is due to expire on the 30th of September 2020. The fact that ESPO can purchase over 250 days of the year and has massive purchasing capacity and is actually recommended by the Pan-Government Energy Project as a person to use, gives us great advantage rather than doing it by ourselves. ESPO purchases 920 million kilowatts of electricity per annum, of which the council consumes roughly 3 million. It makes sense, it gives us certainty, it gives us budgeting certainty, and as I said, the contract is due to expire on the 30th of September 2020. All our needs during the next financial year will be purchased under the existing contract. I can't think of anything else to say, so I will ask David Hawkins whether he wants something.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I think you've covered most of the main points. The only one thing that I would like to add is that through the ESPO framework contract, we pay a small premium of 0.02 pence per kilowatt hour, and that is to ensure that the energy that we buy is from the greenest or pure green supply, and which comes entirely from renewables, which is sort of wind, solar, and through wave power. So I think that we have excellent credentials in that respect.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Mercer?
Sorry, can you just clarify, does that mean we're paying a little bit extra or quite a bit extra to have green energy?
For the whole of our energy consumption for a year, we pay a premium of £582.
Okay.
So it's a very, very small additional cost.
Thank you very much. Councillor Vardy.
As always, Leader. I actually, picking up on what Councillor Mercer's just said, I think this is an excellent, this council has a commitment to its carbon credentials, how we're trying to reduce our footprint. And I welcome this, and I welcome our commitment to that. Thank you very much.
Okay. We are talking about the contract itself rather than our carbon footprint. But
of course.
So any other questions to do with the contract itself? No further questions. So in which case, can I ask Councillor Barclay to make the proposal?
I make the recommendation as outlined on page 98 for the reason to allow contracts for the Council to be let in accordance with the contract procedure rules and to benefit from economies of scale provided by using ESPO members' combined budgets and buying power.
Thank you very much. And can I ask Councillor Taylor to second?
I'd like to second that recommendation, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David, as well. So we're now... you're staying put, aren't you? Mm-hmm. In that case, you can stay put. So we're now on to item 9, which is the amendments to the annual... I did wonder why you weren't moving too quickly. So well done. You caught me out. So item now, we're now on to amendments to the annual procurement plan. Councillor Barclay, if you'd like to introduce the report and then pass over to David again present any additional items.
Thank you, Leader. As you all know, we have an annual procurement plan which came through this Cabinet on the 15th of March 2018. Since then, there's been various amendments on the 5th of July and 13th of September. The contracts that we know at the beginning of the year are put through, and any that additional ones are subsequently brought through Cabinet for approval. Tonight, the contract levels are between 25,000 and 75,000, between 75,000 and half a million, and those over half a million. Tonight we have two contracts brought forward for under 75,000, one for information services and one for landlord services, as outlined on page 104, and one contract between 75 and half a million, which is Payment Card Industries Data Security Standard Payment Card Compliance. Well, it sounds gobbledygook to me, but effectively we're securing people who are paying over the telephone so that their PIN numbers and everything aren't divulged. So it's clever stuff, well beyond my technical capabilities. I'll pass over to David.
It's well beyond my technical capabilities as well, Councillor Barclay. Fortunately, we have an ICS department that are fully up to speed in that respect. If anybody's got any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Does anyone have any particular questions? Anyone claiming a IT knowledge beyond the rest of us? No, no questions. We're all stunned in the silence, I think, by the prospect of answering those ones. Come on, Councillor Smidovich, you are IT tester.
In view of my experiences with this piece of equipment here in the last few months, are we going to be working with a company that has got a long history of good equipment, or is it a new company that's setting up that is giving a good...
The payment card industry data security standard equipment is software, and it's to enable callers into the call centre to pass on their credit card details in a perfectly secure and monitored fashion. So it's software rather than hardware.
The only quick thing to add to that as well is it would then enable the council to record phone calls as well, which we can't currently do because we take so many card payments over the phone. So there's much wider benefit to it as well going forward.
Gosh, everyone's coming now. Councillor Taylor.
All the IT people are out now.
Will that as well do voice recognition for identity? Is that part of the as well?
I don't know the answer to that question, I'm afraid. That would be a better place with the professionals in the ICS department.
Okay, Councillor Mercer.
So I appreciate you may not necessarily be able to answer it, but it would be useful to have an answer. On page 104, there's improved provision of Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Are we assuming that when everybody is Wi-Fi'd up in this particular chamber, the actual capacity of the Wi-Fi will be enough to output that amount of data? That's the first question. And secondly, there's quite strict controls over what we can and cannot look at over the Wi-Fi. And a question I've asked before is it possible to lift those controls? Because as well as blocking extremist websites, it also blocks mysouthfields.com, which is not an extreme website. also blocks quite a lot of security software that normal PCs, and not all of us have council-supplied laptops that they rely upon for downloading that software. It blocks Dropbox, it drops TeamViewer, and it drops, as I say, quite a lot of the security software that ordinarily people would actually use. So if councillors could be trusted not to sit in council meetings looking at Amazon all the time, it may be worth looking at the possibilities of lifting those controls on the councillor's network.
Passing on to David to answer that in full. This is actually a point that I had a discussion with one of our officers in ICS quite recently, because I know it's something that we're looking, obviously, as this paper refers to. And my understanding is that in loose terms, it would be a much more of a sort of a BT internet type structure rather than necessarily what we have at the moment, which is quite a closed system. So the flexibility of access will be more. Won't necessarily answer all of the points that you probably raised for all sorts of reasons, but as far as the general access is concerned, yes, it will be a lot more open. But David, you'll probably have better answer.
Yes, it's my understanding that this particular improvement to Wi-Fi is for the public in the town hall and surrounding area, and for the public in Southfield offices rather than for members and officers. That's my understanding.
Okay, any further questions? I hesitate to ask, because as soon as I ask, everyone pauses and then puts their hands up. Okay, no further questions. That's fantastic. So in which case, I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay at this point to make a proposal.
So I make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 101 for the reason to allow contacts of the council to let in accordance with the contract procedure rules.
And Councillor Vardy, can I ask you to second?
Yes, thank you, EDSR. Our pleasure in seconding those proposals.
Can I see everyone in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David. You can definitely go now, because I know you're not on the next item. Unless you wish to stay for the next item, I don't know. Probably not. So we're now on to item 10, which is the Draft General Fund and HRA 2019-20 budgets. For the first time, can I invite Tina? Tina Sankey is our head of finance and property services. So welcome to Cabinet for your first full-blown Cabinet meeting. And what I'm going to ask now is Councillor Barclay to introduce the report and then pass over to Tina to proceed with any other items and to answer any questions.
Thank you, Leader. So this is the draft budget for 2019-2020, which follows on from the medium-term financial strategy. We are predicting use of reserves of roughly 1 million next year, which will reduce our working balances to roughly 4 million, which is twice what the minimum reserve we need. Charnwood Council is intending to raise the council tax by £5 for the whole year. It still remains one of the lowest council tax authorities in out of the 215 local authorities, district councils. We do, without a doubt, face challenges. The medium-term financial strategy showed the savings that we have to make, and in summary they're about 300,000 each year over the next 3 years, which will then put us in a small surplus position. The challenges we face are obvious. There's going to be a fairer funding review at the end of 2019. We don't know how we're going to come out against that. There's also likely to be an amendment to the amount of new homes bonus that we get, which is an area which we are very reliant on. We have heard the news tonight that we're actually going to be successful in our 75% business rate retention grant, which will, from memory, and our Section 151 officer can correct me if wrong, probably bring in something in the region of 250,000 extra to us. He's confirming that, I can tell. But no, he's not. But it is good news. The other things that are going to affect us are the fact that we have got to meet these challenges going forward. Saving £350,000 a year is not going to be easy. We have a history of underspends. To date, we're predicting an underspend of about £500,000. There are various other factors. I've outlined the uncertainty around the new homes bonus. We also have other challenges insofar as Brexit is going to... I know everybody's sick of hearing about Brexit, but the reality of it is that will very much impact on the government's ability to fund local government finances, the grants. We've also lost the revenue support grant. You'll see that our spending over the next 3 years rises by roughly £1 million, but our income also goes up. We've lost £500,000 worth of recycling credits from Leicestershire County Council. We've also taken on warden services from them. We are making every effort to help ourselves insofar as we are engaging in trying to commercialise our activities. The Messenger Close project that we're going ahead with, we're looking to develop the Limehurst Depot. We are without a doubt facing challenges, but as I say, we are financially stable. And will, if we deliver this plan, which will require effort from officers and councillors, going to come out at the other end of this financially strong. But I think we need to be aware that there are unknowns there. We have, I believe, today received the funding formula, which from memory, I think we've got an additional 0.7%. Yeah. Well, that needs to be confirmed, but I believe that's the case. So I will ask the Head of Financial Services to add the technical stuff. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for your report. I'd just like to add a few details following today's local government finance settlement announcement. As has already been, you've already been informed, we have been successful in our application to be a pilot authority, 75% business rates retention pilot authority for 1920 with Leicester and the rest of Leicestershire, which will mean that the figures presented on page 1112 for the NNDR will need revisiting as a result of that announcement, but we're confident that, you know, any recalculation will be to our benefit. Also, that the new homes bonus, it was announced that the scheme will remain the same again for 1920, so that's good news as well, but no indication of where that was going forwards. We've had a quick look at the figures, and for the council tax receipts, the tax base that we have will have a slight reduction of about 23,000, and we've had a look at the new homes bonus figure that was announced today, and coincidentally we have a slight increase of 23,000, so one wipes the other out. We do have a little bit of windfall income, but it is just for the 1 year, 1920, because the government, central government's levy account has a surplus which they've announced they will distribute amongst the local authorities throughout the country. So that's just an extra £65,000 that we weren't expecting, but we're happy to receive that. Looking at the table on page 112, which gives the details of the budget, the only other thing that I would like to point out is that we do have in there the targeted savings of £300,000. We're anticipating that we will be able to achieve that by looking at areas where there have been underspends occurring and take those rather than actually looking at making any cuts, I think, within the services. And then moving on to looking at the HRA, that's on page 116. 118, we have the HRA budget. The things that I'd like to draw your attention to there is that for the dwelling rental income, we're budgeting £20,812,000. This does include, has been based on the assumption that we still need to have a 1% reduction in rental income, and that has been applied, but you'll notice that it is actually higher than the previous year, and that's because we've got a 53-week rental year in 1920, which happens every 7 years to sort of catch up. Then on page 120 to 123, we've got the details of the service pressures and savings for the general fund. And also then on page 124, we have the Loughborough special expenses budget with the notes for those for that budget shown on pages 125 and 126. For the HRA, there weren't that many pressures that were put forward, and so they're actually included in the body of the report for the HRA on page 116. If there are any questions, I'd like to take those and see if I can answer them.
Right. Any questions to start off with? Gosh, I'm so silent. Sorry, Councillor Vardy, come on.
Yeah, always good for a quick question, aren't I, Leader? Thank you. Now, it just, we all know that these are extremely challenging times. We're, Councillor Barclay, telling us that at every meeting, how it is difficult, but it seems to me that the difficulties, we're still coming up with a budget that is acceptable. I know we're going into some reserves, but it, to me, it just reflects the professional capabilities of the officers and, of course, the lead member of this council. So thank you.
I take that as a statement rather than a question. Absolutely. But we can all agree with you, of course. Any other question? Councillor Smirnovich.
I think this will have come up while I was out of the room, but on page 122 at the top, there's a comment there about the review of bulky waste charging policy. I appreciate it is complex. I don't even know where you'd begin with that. But it's saying, additionally, this complexity does not lend itself to an efficient online customer process. Are you able to elaborate on that as to what it is online that's affecting this? So, thank you, Simon.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Smirnovich. It's probably slightly easier for me to answer as I've got a little bit more awareness of this. So there are various aspects of the process, but one of the features of the process at the moment is that all residents get three free collections in the year, following which they have to pay for those collections. Now, at the moment, that's in terms of an online process design, the fact that there's three free collections, but I'll struggle to say, and then you pay, makes it quite difficult to design on a technical basis. And then also at the moment we've also got the issue of sort of trying to reconcile who's had the free collections and whether people are actually having four collections or five collections. We're not able to quite reconcile it. So there's quite a sort of complex manual process in there at the moment, which is sort of why we refer to the fact that we may be missing some income. And there are other aspects of the process, just the way it's been designed, which is not incorrect or unreasonable when the process was put together. But when you sort of try and map that onto our forms and structured data, it doesn't really work so well. So I think there is a good opportunity here to look at both the way the business process works and maybe revisit some of our charging policies to get a much better and more efficient process, which will also have the benefit of enabling us to maybe increase our revenues a little bit.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? I think that's good. Good. So, Councillor Barclay, if I can ask you to make a proposition, and then I'll ask for a second.
Yeah. So I just reiterate that our housing revenue account is in a very sound position. We have a housing revenue finance account. As you'll all be aware, we have about 70 million plus of borrowing, and we have choices to make with any surplus that is accumulated in there, whether we want to repay it. I think the first loan comes up in 2024-2025. But I'd also like to welcome Tina as our new Head of Financial Services. She's met me a number of times and she's still here, which is quite good. I'm very glad she is. So I would make recommendations 1 and 2 on page 106 for the reasons to provide an opportunity for consultation on the 2019-20 budget. And that's it.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mercer, can I ask you to second?
Thank you, Leader. I take pleasure in seconding this item.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Tina. So we're now on to item 11, which is the Capital Plan Amendment. I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay again to introduce the report, and Tina, who's still with us, will be able to present any additional items and then cover any questions.
Thank you, Leader. So this is bringing forward some amendments to our capital plan, which we created. It covers a three-year period. The main items in there are a £477,000 increase to enable us to acquisition affordable housing to meet housing needs under the HRA, which is good. The Loughborough Science and Enterprise Park, We haven't had the request for the money for that yet, but it is worth keeping it in the capital plan, so we're slipping that till next year. Similarly, the broadband, we're still assessing which is the most value for money, and it's not going to be released now before August 2019, so we're slipping that. Similarly, with the Carbon Management Fund, we've completed two schemes, but the others won't be completed till next year, so there's a slippage there. We're doing a couple of other schemes. You can see that we're asking for £21,000 for the Loughborough market replacement of a tug and trailer. We're asking for £7,500 increase for the Carillion Tower restoration project, which worth looking at, really. I've went up to the top. I left our lead member halfway up. she wouldn't go any further. But it's really quite impressive, the work that's been undone in there. And I just remind councillors, this was actually originally created with public donation money after the First World War. So it's only right that we maintain it for future generations. And that's exactly what we're doing. The Messenger Close project, we're asking for another £12,000, but I know that we've struggled with this at times, but this £12,000 is actually for work specifically required by the tenants, and the tenants are going to pay for it. So it's just adding to the capital plan, but there is no further outlay for this council. We've asked for a reduction of £25,000 in the Green Spaces project, because it's not needed at the moment. And we're investing £140,000 in the outwards, which is great. And this project is going to be entirely funded by a grant from the Rural Development for England Growth Programme. The capital plan is fully financed and affordable. And I'll now ask Tina to add anything she wants to do.
So I'll ask now. The new scheme for the Atwoods, I'm on the Atwoods Management Committee. Do I have to leave the room for this item?
Leader, my advice would be no, because obviously that's an appointment by the council.
Tina, over to you in that case.
Thank you. I'm an old hand at this now. There's not really much I need to add to this report by Councillor Barclay. Thank you very much. The only The only thing that I would like to mention is that the addition of the 477,000, it will make best use of the council house receipts that we have got from right to buy sales, because we're in have entered into agreement, as there's a paragraph about this on page 131. It will enable us to keep our right to buy receipts and use those to purchase properties, so we'll be able to sort of purchase properties using that rather than handing it back to the government. And I don't think there was really anything else to add, if that's okay, but I'll take any questions if there are any.
Thank you very much. You'll discover the benefit of having Councillor Barclay as your lead member is that he tends to do most of the speaking, so it's a benefit. It's a benefit, I promise you. Any questions on the capital plan amendment report that anyone wishes to ask? First point, I'm also a trustee of council-appointed trustee of the Outwards Management Committee, and I have to say it's always good news to see the investments that we're putting in the Outwards. It is a spectacular area for our residents. The history attached to the Outwards is long and detailed, but a much appreciated and much valued area for all residents, but especially those in Loughborough. So any other questions that anyone wishes to ask? I don't see any questions. So in which case, I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to make a proposition.
So I make the recommendations 1 to 10 on page 127 for the reasons 1 to 10 on page 128.
And I'm going to ask Councillor Rawlings to second.
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to support this proposal.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Tina, as well. So we are now on to item 12, which is the write-off report for business rate properties. We also have an OSG report on this one, so if I can ask Councillor Ransom, hiding behind Councillor Poland, Councillor Ransom to come to the table, that would be great. And I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to introduce the item and then pass over to Councillor Ransom to present the OSG report.
Thank you. So this is a write-off report for business rates. You can see there's three public houses involved in it. Some of them have been outstanding over a number of years. We've made stringent efforts to recover it. Some of the companies have gone into liquidation. There is little chance of us getting any of this money back. One of the liquidators said there was a chance of a small dividend. Nothing has turned up at the moment. I would just say out of this roughly 96,000, we will suffer as a council roughly 10%. In other words, we will have a write-off of roughly 9,600. The rest will accrue to the County Council Police and Fire Authority. We already have a provision made to cover this. It is brought to Cabinet to show the efforts that we have made and also to make you aware of the challenges we face. And that's really all I've got to say. So I'll hand over to our Overview and Scrutiny Vice Chair for their report.
Good evening, Leader, and members of the committee again. Thank you very much for letting OSG have this opportunity to scrutinise this item. Councillor Barclay, the lead member, and Mr Jackson actually were at the meeting, they were robustly questioned from the members of OSG, and to that effect was very much, the members were very satisfied with their answers. So we will go with the recommendations of the OSG. We have recommended to go with the recommendations. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Councillor, are there any questions of clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Ransom? No? In that case, thank you very much. And thank you also to OSG for reviewing the two items. And thank you very much for chairing and also coming along this evening to present the two reports.
Doesn't want to work for me. Thank you very much. And I want to wish you all a very happy Christmas and a prosperous new year from the Overview Scrutiny Group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor, and Happy New Year. Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year. No, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. A Merry Christmas and a Merry New Year.
What kind of you have?
Well, not enough. Not enough. Too many mince pies. So, gosh, where am I now? In Cabinet. Okay, so in which case, Simon Jackson, our Strategic Director of Corporate Services, is there anything else that you wish to add to the report that Councillor Barclay has already presented?
Thank you, Leader. No, I don't think there's anything particularly significant. I think maybe if I was to draw your attention to anything, it's sort of the bottom of paragraphs 2 and 5 and also paragraph 8, which sort of notes that all the three businesses involved in this have been dissolved or are in otherwise insolvency procedures. So on that basis, there is very, very little prospect of any recovery at all, unfortunately. But I think Councillor Barclays has covered all the main points. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Councillor Mercer.
Thank you. So I've asked this question before, but I think it's worth asking again. Most of these debts tend to be pubs. Do we actually keep a track of directors of these companies to see if there is any pattern of serial not paying their rates, closing down the company and then doing it all again?
I think to be fair, we probably don't specifically take that action. The reason is that individual directors can be traced and there are patterns, but it's actually very, very easy for serial offenders to avoid any sanctions that they may have, because what they would usually do is put their sort of friends or family or some other nominees as to be the directors, and they would become what would be known as shadow directors. So it's actually very, very easy to circumvent the issues. We don't actually have any choice, unfortunately, about whether we need to collect business rates or not. So if a new business has arisen from the ashes of the old business, which is, as you sort of allude to, quite common, as long as the landlord of those premises is prepared to accept those businesses or those new companies as a tenant, we have then little option but to try and collect money from those businesses. So I guess the short answer is, you know, no, we don't have the process of trying to trace individual directors. We could, but it would be, I think, to be honest, quite a time-consuming exercise, and ultimately it wouldn't really able to help or prevent those businesses starting up and incurring business rates, which we will then ultimately struggle to collect. So I'm afraid it's not a good situation, but that is the reality of the situation, I'm afraid.
Thank you very much. Are you happy with that as an answer? Okay. Councillor Smitherish.
It's just a matter of curiosity in a way, because certain companies can actually sell a debt, can't they, to a debt recovery agency. Is that not something we can do with this?
There's various tactics we can use around debt collection. We tend to use bailiffs. We would probably not on in general sell on debts, because some of the bailiffs to whom you might sell on debts aren't necessarily that reputable in all cases. But in these particular instances, once a business goes into a liquidation or an insolvency process, there is simply no money. And I think what Councillor Mercer was alluding to, unfortunately, you can't go after the directors personally. So then you are just simply left with a shell of a company with no assets, owing usually lots of money, usually to the Inland Revenue, who would always have first call on any assets that the liquidator is able to recover. So, unfortunately, it doesn't not really appropriate in this case.
Okay, no further questions. I'm going to ask Councillor Barclay to make a proposal on this one.
But just for clarification, and also to... okay, so just to endorse what Simon Jackson, the Section 151 officer, says, in these circumstances, they've gone into liquidation or to be dissolved, and their liabilities will far outweigh their assets. And in one particular case, you will see that they try to enter into a voluntary creditors arrangement with one, but HM Customs and Excise declined that, and ended up with absolutely nothing, which is the same as we are. So I make recommendations 1 to 3 on page 139 for the reason that the normal enforcement, recovery and tracing of these debts has been exhausted and the write-off is now the only alternative.
We seem to have problems with whistling mics tonight. So if I can ask Councillor Boker to second.
I'm happy to second that, Leader.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now on to item 13, which is the Risk Management Framework and Strategic Risk Register. Councillor Poland, can I ask you to introduce the report, and then Adrian Ward, who's our Head of Strategic Support, will present any outstanding items and answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. I'll get the mic over my new computer here. So, as members will probably be aware, risk management is an item that comes to us annually. However, this year is different in so much as back in the spring, we had the LGA peer review team come to visit us, as members will no doubt recall. And as part of that, part of the feedback they gave us was that we review our risk appetite. I think with a more than an eye on making it more robust rather than the other way. So we took back that feedback on board, and as a result, we delayed taking the risk register as was to Cabinet, although members will remember back in the summer we did bring an interim version to yourselves. But now we're coming back with sort of the findings of the review that we entered, really. So basically, the existing risk management strategy is due to be replaced by two separate documents, in effect. One is a strategic level risk management strategy, and the other one is an operational risk management framework. Risks associated with local authorities are, as you can probably imagine, many and varied, but the framework proposes to set risk appetites in four main areas: strategic, delivery, financial and compliance. During the process, the LGA recommended other authorities to look at for best practice, which we did that, and obviously that helped in our development of our risk appetite. I'll now pass to Adrian just to fill in anything I've missed and obviously for any questions.
Thank you, Leader. Very good summary from Councillor Poland. As he said, we've done this as a result of a recommendation arising from the LGA peer challenge. We have looked at exemplars of best practice as recommended by the LGA and other authorities that have won national awards for their risk management arrangements. We have defined our risk appetite on pages 164 and 165, which was one of the specific things that the LGA peer review team recommended we should do. And the final document within Appendix 3 is the proposed new strategic risk register, which has been developed in consultation with senior officers and informally with yourselves as Cabinet members. And it's based on the new format recommended within the documents that are before you tonight. Just one final thing, in the usual way, if you do approve this strategic risk register tonight, the audit committee would then monitor it on a quarterly basis during the year and report back to you by exception if they had any concerns or issues before you approve it again on the next annual basis. I'm obviously happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Are there any questions? Councillor Spinovich.
So I do appreciate that you have to look very carefully at what, undertaking a risk management of if you do something. But do we also do the opposite of risk assessment of not doing something?
That's quite a difficult question to answer. I think we probably do, but obviously, if we, in terms of policy development or thinking about doing something new and innovative, decide that the risks outweigh the benefits, it probably then doesn't come before you as Cabinet, because it's only the things I think that we as officers, having weighed up the risks, think are worth putting before you that get to the stage of you as a Cabinet seeing them. Something else has just sprung into my mind. Obviously, you'll be aware that within each Cabinet report there is a risk management section. Again, if you approve these changes tonight, we will update that risk management section moving forward to make sure it reflects the new practices that we're asking you to consider.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? So, in which case, Councillor Poland, if I can ask you to make a proposition.
Certainly, Leader. I'd like to move recommendations 1 to 3 on page 143. For reasons 1 to 3, also on page 143.
Councillor Smilovich, if I can ask you to second.
I'm happy to second that.
Can I see all of those in favour? And that's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Adrian, as well. So at this point, we need to resolve to exclude members of the public from the meeting during the consideration of the following item on the grounds that it will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 3 and 5 of Part 1 of the Schedule 12A to the Local Government Act 1972. And it is considered that the public interest in maintaining the exemption outweighs the public interest in disclosing the information.